right. We're going to continue our media availabilities. We've now been joined by our race winner here at Chicagoland Speedway, Chase Briscoe. First of all, Chase, congratulations on that win. We'll go to questions from the media here in just a minute, but before we do so, I wanted to ask you about your move there when you got out of the car, where you did the fishing pole kind of move. Just talk a little bit about your celebration. You mentioned how excited you were to win in that paint scheme, but I'm sure Johnny Morris loved that as well. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I thought about the reeling it in thing last year, and I never have got to obviously use it till today. But yeah, just I feel like that's the most American I'll ever feel in my life. Winning in the red, white, and blue Bass Pro Shop scheme, 4th of July weekend, 250 years of America. The only thing I think that made it more American is winning on July 4th instead of July 5th. But yeah, just what a cool weekend to, you know, even hear Johnny when he called me, just how fired up he is, and just the whole Bass Pro Shops, you know, group. It's a huge thing. They obviously are so big on just, being proud of being American and to win on this weekend in that paint scheme. It means a lot for all of us for sure.
All right, we'll go ahead and go to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We're going to work to get a microphone to you. I'll get to as many questions as I can. We're going to start up front with Zach.
Zach Sterney, NASCAR.com. That battle, or holding off Christopher those last few laps, how did you try to play that? Because he pretty much got right to your bumper, and I think he even got to your left at some point. How did you hold him off?
Yeah, it was super close. He about won the race in 3 and 4 with like 2 or 3 to go. We kind of caught a lap car, and we were going to have to run the top because lap car was going to the bottom, and I kind of ran a little too high, and he was so close to getting to my left rear, and if he gets to my left rear, he instantly wins the race, but was able to just barely squirt in front of him. And then, you know, the lap cars kind of is what made it way – he was going to catch me, I think, either way, but the lap cars really just made it happen way faster. But then, honestly, at the end, the last two laps, lap cars are what saved me because it made it where, you know, he didn't have a clean lane. Like, there was always another lap car running the bottom or running the middle, so I could just kind of block him in a sense. And so I knew as long as I just – I had to make sure I drove it in deep enough he couldn't get to my left rear, and then just make sure I had a somewhat decent exit. But I was – sideways and drifting on exit a lot of the time. So, yeah, it was a super intense battle. Out of all the people that were going to catch me, I was glad it was him just because I knew he was going to race me super clean, obviously. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun for sure.
All right, we're going to go to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. We've talked so much about Denny this year and Tyler and their battle and everything, but come the chase, are people sleeping on the 19 team?
We still have a long way to go. We have not been as consistent, I would say, as the 11 and the 45. But from a speed standpoint, I feel like we've been there with them. You know, the 11's probably been a little bit quicker. I think we still need a little bit. The hard part is we're just going to be playing from behind the whole playoffs or the whole chase just because of our point situation. You know, I talked about last week how if I can win 2 or 3 races here in the next, 8 before the regular season ends, then there's a real path of getting to maybe top 5 in points. And so, next week's going to be a huge thing because points can really swing a lot just with it being a super speedway. And then you have Daytona too. So you just kind of got to have a little bit of luck, I think, in those 2 races to really get yourself there. But with how much extra incentive there is to win races now and the point structure, even in the chase, if you can just win 2 or 3 races, like you can close that gap pretty quickly, but it just makes it where you don't really have any mulligans to start, and that's where, Tyler and Denny are going to have an advantage.
Over the radio and tells you to, dig deeper, you got this, and kind of implores you to find something deep inside you. Are you hearing that? Is it white noise? What is the thought process like? Because some drivers don't want to be told that.
Yeah, I was kind of getting a little frustrated. Obviously, I was doing everything I could and going as fast as I could. And they kept telling me to do different stuff in the car, trying to carry partial throttle into 3 and all these things. And I'm like, I'm driving the car. Like, I know what it's capable of doing and not doing. And what I was doing was the fastest it was going to go around there. So I totally get what they're doing, right? But, yeah, it was a little bit of white noise just because I was so focused on just trying to – I knew that I was slower than Bell, so I was just trying to minimize my time loss every single lap, and I felt like if I was going to try something different or try what they wanted me to do, yeah, there's a chance I maybe go a touch faster, but the odds were I was probably going to go a little bit slower, and I just felt like I couldn't give up any of my gap. Nah, I don't care.
All right, we're going to go, Jeff. Do you have the microphone still? Oh, sorry, Morgan.
Now that you've won, I guess, can you tell us about the pressure to win in a Toyota these days? I mean, every Toyota seems so fast, and I'm sure you see the other Toyotas winning, and it's like, man, I assume that's got to be like weighing on you to some degree.
Yeah, I would say that this year has been unlike anything I've ever experienced in my career, where in the past, like when I was at Stuart Haas, you know, you would, I mean, I went like 2.5, 3 years without winning, right? So like you just kind of get accustomed to not winning. And then last year to be able to win three races, like that just becomes the expectation that you should go and win races and compete for wins. And you know, it's definitely burned me up not winning more than ever before, especially just knowing that our cars are really, really fast. And there's been a couple that have kind of slipped away, I feel like, this year. And then when your teammates are winning, like it makes it worse, like as a competitor, because, you know, they have every, you know, equal opportunity that you have, and they're performing better. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of pressure to go and run good. And, you know, it goes in ups and flows, right? Like a year from now, the Toyotas could be way off and the Chevys and Fords could be unbelievable. So when you're good, you have to take advantage of it. And especially at the types of racetracks where the Toyotas are typically the best is the mile and a half. So when you come to a mile and a half, like you cannot have a bad day. You need to take advantage of it because it's not very often you have, you know, race winning cars. So when you have them, you have to try to win, especially in this format.
All right, Matt Weaver, did you have a question? Okay, go ahead.
82 is my guess, Jeff and Jordan. How did I pull the crowd? Well, more than 82% of them did.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. Jeff kind of took a direction that I wanted to go, but I'll kind of, I don't know, bounce another direction of that off of you. When things are not going well, like they were in the spring, and I know some of it's misfortune, but I'm sure you and James look in the mirror and say, okay, well, maybe this was not our fault, but what is? What were those conversations like when you guys have really honest, you know, debriefs and say, what can we be doing better that you guys are starting to do better now?
Yeah, I think just, you know, for one, executing, you know, just managing the race better. I feel like that's something that really took me a long time to, you know, do once I got to JGR, just understand the risk versus reward of certain scenarios and manage the race. And in the past, like I would just run every lap 100% and burn my stuff up, where now, like because my cars are better, and I've listened to just Denny a lot about how he manages his pace based off, you know, what his car is doing and understanding, you know, putting heat in the tires. And I feel like I've done a way better job of that the last couple of weeks. And that's something that James and I have tried to work a ton on, is just understanding how to manage the race, how to manage your tires, to really understand how you can be the most efficient over the course of a run. And I would say that's the thing that we've probably worked the most on, is just trying to, you know, honestly change my driving style some, and just try to make the tires have less heat all the time. Because how I drive, you know, with my sprint car background, I really try to, you know, turn it with the gas a lot of the time, and it honestly, you know, hurts you on the long run because of that. So I would say that's the biggest thing that we've as a group have really focused on. And then I would say that the focus for us going forward, now that we've kind of, you know, not perfected that but gotten better at it, is just trying to understand, you know, how do we make our balance better for when we're in the lead? That's something that I feel like we struggled with a little bit last year. You know, we would qualify on the pole a lot, and we'd be fine when we're second through fifth or whatever on the racetrack. But when we would get the lead, we would always, you know, typically go pretty free, and just trying to understand what that balance is of, you know, maybe you can give up a little bit for traffic to be better when you're in the lead.
Around Talladega last fall, you and James both kind of suggested that the season that you guys had was important to both of you, because you both kind of felt like you were racing for your lives or validating the spot that y'all found yourselves in at JGR. How is the pressure this year of getting, you know, well into a season, halfway through a season, and not following up that success, similar to the pressure that you guys put on yourselves last year?
It's different. You know, because last year I feel like we were both trying to just prove that we deserve to be in the position that we were in, and then to be able to go last year and be as competitive kind of week in and week out, and, you know, have a chance to win the championship, you know, you start this season, like internally having that expectation, but also the whole world around you has that expectation now. So when, you know, we talked about over the offseason, like where should we be week 5, week 10 of the season, it was honestly leading the points or being in the top three. And when that doesn't happen, you know, I think it's easy to not point fingers at each other, but there is a friction, right? Because you're not getting the results that you're so used to getting. And that's where I think James and I have done a pretty good job of just, you know, still looking at the big picture and being like, okay, it's not like we're slow. Like we're still really fast. We just haven't had the results of the execution side. And some of it has been just circumstance, but you know, outside of really 2 or 3 weekends on the season, we've had a car that's capable of running in the top three, and we just haven't done it as a race team. So, yeah, I think for us, that's been the big thing is, you know, just understanding that we're both obviously putting in everything we got into it. And just, you know, once we start executing, the speed is there.
All right. Tim, you had a question? Yep.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Day. Congrats on the win, Chase. You mentioned earlier being able to say that you trust Christopher when you're there in those closing laps. What does that say about him in general as a teammate, as an individual, that he too racing for his first win of the season, that you could trust that he's not going to just go in there and ship you and cost you a chance to win?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, even if we're not teammates, just Christopher is the most fair guy in the field. Like, he's going to race you how you race him. And that's how he's been his whole career, like in dirt racing, sprint cars, midgets. Like, he's what a race car driver truthfully should be. Like, he's going to race you extremely hard, but he's not going to do anything that is, you know, there's a certain respect level, I feel like, amongst a lot of us, right? And Christopher is always very good about that. And so for me, you know, obviously I've known Christopher over half my life. So, you know, there's always just been this mutual respect between the two, and you know, we're buddies, and you know, we just, I don't know, we race each other really, really well. And even outside of being teammates, like if I drove for a different organization, I don't think Christopher would have raced me any different there at the end. That's just how Christopher is. It's who he is as a person. And, you know, as a race car driver, you know, I just have the utmost respect for Christopher because that's how, you know, I was at least raised to race, and he obviously follows that.
And you mentioned the goal of getting to the top 5 in points. I told James 46 to 5th. Do you think you can cut that down over the next couple of races?
Yeah, that's exciting. I did not know it was only 46 points. It was 108, I think, going into tonight. So, yeah, for us to cut that big of a deficit in, like I said earlier, you know, you have to have Atlanta go your way. You have to have Daytona go your way. But certainly, you know, I think it's encouraging for us to only be that far back. It, you know, definitely puts things into perspective that it's not impossible for sure.
And one last question on my part, how does it feel to eliminate the defending champion of the bracket challenge with Ty Gibbs?
Yeah, I feel like the first two matchups I've had have been extremely tough. You know, Allmendinger obviously on the road course, and then Ty today. I knew I was going to have to be in the top three to have a chance. So, yeah, I was. I guess I'm glad I'm moving on. I feel bad for Ty that he's not able to back it up, but yeah, it was a good battle for sure all night long.
All right, Jay, and then we'll go to Chris Knight. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, Jay Cohen, Associated Press. I'll ask the question: did you get your chocolate yet?
Yeah, I did. James brought it to me literally as I was standing on the front stretch. It was pretty good.
What's the story behind that? Is he closely watching your diet, or does he just feel like you eat?
Yeah, I mean, he's closely watching it. Truthfully, I don't do a great job still. We can cut that out. But yeah, we went to the UK this off season just as like a bonding thing, and they had these like dairy milk buttons, and they were like unbelievable. And I bought them here in the States through Amazon. They're not even close to the same. So he actually went to the UK, I think, on the off week a couple months ago, and he bought a couple. And so he hasn't mentioned it to me until today. He's like, hey, I got those milk buttons. You know, if you win today, you can have them. And so, yeah, he brought them to me on the front straightaway. They were pretty dang good.
Else for his birthday, or is this good enough?
This is it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for James, this is as good as it's going to get.
All right, we'll go Chris and then Peter. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Congrats, Chase. Yesterday, kind of following up on Gluck's question, yesterday during the scrums, you said that you were upset and even kind of mad that you hadn't won this year, considering everything that you've been through. Were you thinking about that at all in the closing laps, and did it fuel you to want to beat Christopher?
I mean, I'd be lying if when I saw him coming, I'm like, of course I'm going to get beat at the end on tires, and you know, I'll be the last guy to not win a JGR. But I mean, I'm driving as hard as I can. It didn't matter if it was Christopher or whoever it was. I was going to drive the same. But yeah, I mean, you definitely, know, when you see a guy coming on tires, like, yeah, you definitely are. I don't know, you just, at least for me, I recognize it, right? Like, I see the big picture of what's about to happen, and I just knew I had to be perfect and focus on the right things, you know, and what I was doing with my car. So, yeah, I don't know if it really changed a whole lot, but I was definitely aware of what was potentially about to happen.
And then you scored your first Arkham Menards Series victory at mile and a half track at Chicago in 2016. Tonight you get your first mile and a half victory in the Cup Series at a mile and a half track. Any significance around that regarding Chicagoland Speedway?
No, for sure. That's been something that I've you know, in the Xfinity Series, I was able to win a lot on the mile and a half, and I've not been able to do that in the Cup Series. I've been able to run second a lot of times, but never to finally seal the deal. So, yeah, it's really cool to, you know, win at a mile and a half in the Cup Series. I feel like that's like the staple of what the Cup Series is, and you know, my teammates have obviously been unbelievable in the mile and a half. So to do it here at Chicagoland is really special. You know, it is in the Midwest. It's close to home. And, yeah, this has been a place that I've always loved coming to back when we used to, and I've missed it. It's always been one of my top five tracks. So it's, you know, nice that I guess some of the things that I used to do around here still work. You know, it's very different, but it's the same approach you had to have back then still is the same today.
All right, Peter, go ahead.
Right here, Chase. Peter Strada with TSJ Sports. You touched on how special it is to win on July 4th, but is that more special as a Tony Stewart fan, given how often he won the Daytona night race back in the day?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, Tony used to wear them out on 4th of July weekend. You know, I think for me, just the significance, you know, once again, just what, first off, what Bass Pro Shop has done for the sport, but, you know, just how into America they are, right? Like, that is their brand, that's their identity, and to win on this weekend, like, Johnny Morris takes a ton of pride and just a Bass Pro Shops car being on the racetrack, but specifically on this weekend. And just, I mean, if you went to any Bass Pro Shops across the country, there's, I mean, hundreds, if not thousands, of American flags out in the parking lot and things like that. So for him, you know, just the amount of stuff that he's put into the sport, to be able to just reward him in some way, and I know how special it is to him, just, you know, being an American on this weekend, let alone being a, you know, winning sponsor on this weekend and in NASCAR nonetheless, is a huge deal for Johnny and the entire brand.
All right, we're going to go over here to Mike, far table.
Mike Napolitano, AM 1410 WRMN Fox Sports. Chase, you kind of touched upon this already, and the coaches were asked this as well, but you talked about coming to Chicago for the 4th of July weekend. It's happened 4 years in a row now with the street race and now this back at Chicagoland Speedway. You talked about the past here in Chicago in the Midwest. What could your future, especially after a win today, kind of mean for you and your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge from just, you know, this is the part of the season where you want to be winning and running up front. So for us to be able to do that now and back-to-back weeks and have a chance to win two races in a row is a huge deal from a team standpoint. You know, from a confidence standpoint, it's a huge deal. You know, and just like I said, it's cool to win on this weekend. Like, of all weekends to win, this is one of those weekends you want to win as a race car driver, especially with it being the 250th, you know, birthday of America. And I think for me, you know, Chicago is – it's kind of like a second home track in a sense. You know, it's 4.5 hours from home. So, you know, I have a lot of people here that don't get to see me race at a lot of other places. So, yeah, just being able to win here and being, you know, relatively close to home is always nice.
All right. We can go to our next question. Go ahead.
Zach Moore from the Bob. Chase, are wins where someone's right there and you make a mistake, he's going to pass you? Are those more rewarding for you as a driver, or is it just a win's a win?
No, I think it's definitely more rewarding when the pressure's on. You know, I mean, look, it's great to dominate them, but certainly to know that you can be under that kind of pressure and perform, at least for me as a competitor, like that means a lot. And I think internally for your team, it just builds confidence in you as the driver whenever you can be in these high-pressure situations and perform. So, yeah, it's, you don't want to be the guy that's known for, you know, choking at the end of high pressure situations. So yeah, it definitely means a lot. You know, I would much rather let every lap and dominated, but to be able to, you know, win and perform at a high level at the end of these races is, you know, it's an important thing to be able to do in the Cup Series, because there's a lot of times where it's, you know, late race restarts or whatever, and you have to perform in those situations.
Same question. You said you had to change your driving style What is the process in doing that? Is that just you just in the simulator a lot longer and you're practicing what you gotta do better? Is that are you doing that in practice?
More so the simulator, you know, just at least trying to make it second nature in a sense, right? And it's still not second nature by any means, but just, you know, I think when you can go to the simulator and run, you know, hundreds of laps, like, and you can, like, kind of teach your foot what to do and your hands what to do, it definitely makes it more second nature. And, you know, look, when you're in the race car, what comes natural is still what's going to happen, but I do think, like, for me tonight, like, there was times where I'm doing what comes natural, but then I'm like, okay, I need to remember, you know, doing X, Y, and Z. So you're just aware of it. And, you know, truthfully, I don't do it every single lap, but there's moments where I'm doing it. And I think that's, for me, where it's been, you know, neat to be able to at least see kind of the fruition of all the work I put in, especially on the road course side. You know, the oval side's another thing. But, yeah, it is nice whenever you can put in, you know, the work and see the results because of that.
All right, go ahead.
Mitchell Brewer, Black Hat Sports. Chase, you mentioned that winning is the expectation, but we've seen some really good drivers go winless in seasons. You've now had three consecutive seasons with a win. What does it mean to have that consistency in a sport that's so tough to win in?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, I mean, I never thought I would win a single race, let alone win, you know, three seasons in a row. And as a race car driver, at least at the cup level, like to stay where you're at and have a job, you need to be able to win consistently. And to be able to do that now 3 years in a row is pretty cool. You know, I feel like all the guys, at least that I, you know, I've always looked up to, and Kyle Busch is a great example, like to be able to win that many seasons in a row, like it just says that you're at the top of your game for a long time. So hopefully I can continue to win throughout my career. But to be able to win, you know, 3 years in a row is pretty dang cool. Especially like I was saying earlier, like when you go to, you know, like my days at Stuart Haas, you go 2 or 3 years where you don't win, and it's very easy to get caught up in that. And I think winning is definitely contagious, and to be able to win 3 years in a row now is a pretty good thing to say.
All right, we're going to take our final question from Danny here in the far corner. Danny, if you don't mind, raise your hand. Thank you.
Danny B Talks. Chase, this morning you and I were chatting right before the trackside chapel this morning, and you spoke about to the fans about the importance of faith, family, and all that in your overall career. How much of that really resonates on a night like this where you get that first win of the year and you get to go celebrate it with your family and team after all this?
I mean, yeah, it's super nice. But, you know, even if I would have ran second or ran dead last, I think just having that perspective of it's still not really that important. Like, that probably sounds terrible to say to a lot of people. But, yeah, I mean, do I want to win? Absolutely. But if I wouldn't have won tonight, like, I'm going to go home and my kids are still going to be just as excited to see me. And, yeah, I think, you know, just being able to keep that in perspective, and that's something that we kind of talked about at the chapel service this morning, is just how your identity is not in your results. And yeah, like, as a competitor, do I want to win? Absolutely. But it's not my identity either. So yeah, it's great to win, but it's not really about that. So yeah.
All right, Chase, congratulations again on that win.
Yeah, thank you.
Enjoy this one.